Who are you, right?
Well, he texted me and he asked if we were having a meeting today, and I said, you're back? I didn't think he was going to be here today.
I had to drive across Bosnia to get here.
It's good to have you back. Bosnia's loss is our gain.
All right. Well, I'd like to call to order this regularly scheduled meeting of the Board of Commissioners of the Virginia Development Corporation. It's a little after 4 on Wednesday, May 22nd, 2019. Roll call, Commissioner Mueller.
Here.
Commissioner Vlasic.
Here.
Commissioner Vassalon.
Here.
Commissioner DeVere is not here. Commissioner McCarville is not here. Commissioner Bevan is not here.
I'm here.
Commissioner Byrne.
Here.
Do we have a motion to confirm the agenda?
Yes.
How's that? Perfect.
We have Sorry. A second.
So a motion by Commissioner Mueller and a second by Commissioner Byrne. Is there any discussion? So not all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Sounds unanimous. The agenda is confirmed. On the consent agenda, which includes the minutes of the April 24th, 2019 regular meeting, the April 2019 financial notice of the bills paid, and the April 2019 administrative report. Do we have a motion on that?
Yes, sir.
Motion we approve. Second. Who was that? Is that you again?
It's Bassel.
Yeah. Okay, so a motion by Commissioner Mueller and a second by Commissioner Bassel. Any discussion?
Yes, sir.
We'll go to a roll call vote then. Commissioner Mueller.
Aye.
Commissioner Vlasic.
Aye.
Commissioner Vassalon.
Aye.
Commissioner Byrne.
Aye.
And I am an aye as well. That is approved. All right, on to the Meridian Chamber Auditorium District Street Committee presentation, gentlemen. Here to join us, and I think all of us know who you are, but just in case, why don't you introduce yourselves?
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, Rich Bonney, I'm CEO of the Meridian Chamber.
And Jeffrey Hall, the chairman of the Meridian Chamber of Commerce. So, I guess I'll start. First of all, thanks again for hearing this. As you guys probably have seen in your packages, we submitted a request for some funding for our feasibility study for the Meridian Auditorium District, which we are technically calling the Auditorium District of Meridian, just for academic reasons. And of course, we have done some presentations within the community. We've also given you a copy of that presentation. It looks like it's in black and white, so you don't get to see the pretty color, but
they had the email version in color.
Oh, good. So, you know, obviously, if you have had a chance to go through that, you will have seen what this is all about. So I'm not going to repeat myself on that, but we are here to answer your questions. So if you have any questions regarding our request for the auditorium district, the feasibility study, anything like that, we're here to answer your questions.
Go ahead. Jeffrey, maybe just for everybody's benefit, because some people didn't get through there. So can you just explain to us the total goal amount, how much you've got collected this time, and then the what if you don't get the full amount of the 50,000 or whatever that magic number was collected, what happens to those funds, and when are you expecting any contribution from this board?
Sure. So the goal is 50,000. That's how much the initial feasibility study is costing us for the Meridian Auditorium District. There is some other things that may be in play where we may expand that out, but then we'll have some other folks coming in to assist with money as well. Right now, we have raised $20,000 with your contribution. We can add to that, and we're waiting for commitments from others. We're trying to get their approvals from their internal CEOs or CFOs or whoever they're working with. And those are mainly Meridian stakeholders. So we, you know, I'm estimating we're going to be about $25,000 away still. We're giving it until the end of June to collect those funds. And at the end of June, if we haven't been able to collect those funds, we have a couple stakeholders that have graciously said that they'd be more than happy to advance some additional funding to get us to our goal. So that's great. We do not want to actually, you know, we're looking for the commitments. We're looking for the pledges right now. And until we actually order the study, we're not going to ask for any funds until we do that. So we're not into a situation that, well, something's changed, now we're going to refund and everybody. So we would probably be looking around that July 1 date, as long as everything goes as planned, to invoice for those funds.
Okay.
MDC kicking in for the study. I guess part of what I think MDC would expect is, for lack of a better term, kind of an ownership interest in the study. In other words, we're party kicking into it, we get it back, and we can also use it for whatever we want to or need to use it for. Is that okay, kind of your understanding?
Absolutely. So that study is obviously, the stakeholders that are involved are all going to have a copy of that study. That includes the city as well. And, of course, Ashley is on our committee, and so she'll have access to that, and we do authorize her to share that with you.
Thanks.
I have a question for you, Todd. What is the rule or whatever as far as an urban rail district contributing to something like this where it may or may not fall within? I guess our district probably be incorporated in the auditorium district, but the actual event center or whatever it ends up being may or may not be within our district. Does that matter?
I think with it being a portion of it, and if our district is definitely within the area that's being studied, contributing to a study to look at feasibility, I think is okay. If you were talking about kicking into building some kind of facility that's located outside, certainly that would be problematic. You couldn't do that. But I think with with MDC having a potential interest in the overall district that would include this, it's okay to pay for a study that we would have an interest in, that we're not driving ourselves and paying for the whole cost either. So I'm okay. I think it's fine to contribute toward it. After that, you have to look at the questions on a case-by-case basis where it's located.
Mr. Chair, just members of the board, just for clarification too, we do have a line item in our budget that we approved for that particular use in the auditorium. It was only $2,500. It was some confusion. We thought we had $5,000 in there. I think that line item is $2,500. Not that we can't move around some funds to accommodate whatever this board might see sufficient to fund.
Members of the board, Mr. Chairman, we had $5,000 last year in the budget, and then as things moved on through the budgeting processes last year, we decreased that for some reason, and I don't remember the rationale for decreasing it, but we do have funds from special projects that we can easily roll over if you all want to consider the $10,000 contribution, which was the initial request. I did let them know that might not be as much as we could contribute, but we do have the capability to find some additional funds in addition to $2,500, wherever we want to end up.
Mr. Chairman, I put in $5,000 thinking that's what the number was in the budget.
That's what I would clarify.
So if we need to adjust that, we can, or if you're okay with that, we're good to go.
Board members have any thoughts about
we have discussed this need for quite a few years on this board, and certainly, if we can afford the $5,000 sounds appropriate. I guess my question is, why the June 15th deadline?
June 30?
I'm here.
Just because we actually have set up a pretty aggressive timeline. That study is going to take us about 6 to 8 weeks to complete, and we actually want to get this, if everything works out, and we said there is the need and the feasibility study comes back positive, we would like this to get this on the May ballot next year in front of the voters. So we're going to have to obviously start our campaigning and everything else and our marketing.
Very aggressive. So it isn't like a legal timeline, it's more political.
It's hold us accountable timeline. Make this thing keep moving along. In the past, they've kind of, things have stalled in the past, from what I understand, and that's not the way we operate now. So we're moving fast.
It's wise to put a deadline in.
I know this is the point of one of the points of the feasibility study, but if you got the district on the election cycle and it was approved, do we even have, with the hotels and the different fundraising mechanisms that you guys have, is it was like, there's hotels here. There's just not a lot.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So, Nathan, I mean, you're exactly right. And that is what the feasibility study is going to tell us. But they're also going to look at the future hotels that are coming in.
Right.
On Overland and Eagle on 10 Mile. So
yeah.
We have several more hotels that are in the works right now from Meridian. And they're going to look at that future income based off of a number that actually the group that's doing the study for us is CSL. They've
yeah.
also done it for the Boise Auditorium District and, you know, obviously the Boise Center. So they know what number, tax revenue-wise, an average room generates.
Right.
Express that.
So do you, for you guys to even be moving forward with the feasibility study, though, have you done any of the early preliminary work on that and feel pretty good about those numbers, or where is that?
So, again, it goes back to we definitely need the feasibility study
right.
to tell us how big of a facility we need,
got
what
it.
That demand is, because we can't actually do a pro forma base until we know how much money we truly need, how much land do we need, how much of a building size do we need to construct, and with everything, there's a whole financing mechanism within this. Obviously, Tommy Alquist was part of the last expansion for the Boise Center on the Grove because auditorium districts cannot technically get into debt.
Right.
So this is all going to come out. Everything, the feasibility study is going to help us with all these aspects to understand. And then sometimes, like the Boise Auditorium District, that was formed. And, I mean, there was several years that went by. I'm talking how many years from the time it was formed till the time they first built? 32 years of collecting revenue before they actually moved dirt.
Well,
now, that's not what we're talking about here. But
let's try to move a little faster.
Yes, yes. But if you imagine when they moved dirt, they were at the same population basically in Boise that Meridian is at today.
Yeah. Okay.
And Mr. Chairman, members of the board, if you recall in our initial multi-purpose conference center feasibility study, just based on the hotels that were there back in 2013, 2014 when we did that study, it was about $1 million in revenue that we would get at that particular time based
is
on.
Is that annually? Yeah.
It was just short of that. It was in the 900 range.
Mr. Chairman, board, we've added about 220 rooms since that study was completed. So.
Yeah.
There's also one other thing that is an avenue that we're looking at here. If you think about where the Boise Auditorium District's boundary line is, it's on Eagle Road. So everything east of Eagle Road, there's basically three hotels that are east of Eagle Road that are in Meridian that
yeah.
they are getting the income from. So talking to them about doing a boundary change is also in the works right now. We are having those discussions with them so we can capture those. Because those owners of those hotels are not going to be pleased knowing that their income is going to the Boise Auditorium District versus the Meridian District.
Right.
Awesome.
Are auditorium districts always contiguous with city boundaries?
No. Actually, the Boise District was set up on the Boise Junior College boundary. So that's their boundary. So we could actually, let's say, for example, we're calling it the Auditorium District of Meridian right now. But let's say that we want to encompass all the way into Canyon County, all the way part of Napa. We can do that. It's about defining those district boundaries, and then it has to go out to the voters within that district boundary.
Yeah, I was thinking. So it is possible to build in other areas who may want to join as well.
It is. There's a we've learned a lot. Ashley, myself, Ridge, we've all learned a lot through this process. We didn't know anything about this. So we've learned a lot about defining this boundary. And you really want to define the boundary only where the growth of hotels are going to be. Not where just to get more people, because that's more people that can vote on it that may say, well, why do we need this? And remember, we're having to educate a lot of people out there what an auditorium district is. And then if it's approved by you as a voter, it's not going to affect your property taxes. It's a room tax. That's what it is. And everybody, when you mention any of you to go out and ask anybody, where does an auditorium district, if it's on the ballot, where are they going to get the funding from? They're going to say, my property taxes.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. So we have a huge campaign to do. So what we're trying to do is minimize the district itself and just really focus on where the hotels are going to be. So we are looking at, you know, making sure that we're all the way out to the Canyon County line where the 16 interchange is going to be in that type of thing. We're looking at any place that we see, even down to, you know, obviously State Street, Chinden, where we see that those hotels could start in billing in 10 to 20 years.
But we also have to follow census tracts as well,
right,
too, is what we learned as well. So you can't just cut off a half of a track. You have to include the whole track if you're including any of it.
It has to have connectivity. So we can't piece it. We asked that question. Can we piece it and do this to minimize and have more commercial districts? Because, again, when you're talking about voters, they all think it's about their property taxes on their houses. So we were trying to minimize the impacts.
For example, Idaho Falls, when they created their auditorium district, they purposely left out Ammon. And so their auditorium district doesn't have Ammon, but it has parts of unincorporated Bottle County and all Idaho Falls.
How long have they had it? What circle
was it? It was formed in 2011. They've raised about $12 million since it was formed in 2011. They've got the ground. They're going to break ground on it very soon. So.
And the key to that, by the way, is their ground was donated to them by Ball Ventures,
yeah,
which is now the partner to Brighton and Tommy Alquist. So if you can imagine, there's already signs of interest in the two of them.
They don't have any way of donating.
Really goes a heck of a deal.
Well, if there are any other questions for these guys from board members, if not, if someone's willing to make a motion to
Mr. Chairman
approve. Well, I guess
let's find out where we're at.
Yeah, the dollar amount.
Okay.
Let's figure out where we are.
You guys are all okay with 5,000, nobody's objecting, and I can just read the resolution. You can vote on that.
Okay. Does anyone have a concern?
No, I was going to second the motion. I was saying, could we just put the 5,000 in the resolution?
It's in there now.
It's in there already. So. Okay, so rewind. Lincoln, would you read the title of the resolution, please?
Sure. And just before I read it for clarification, the way it's set up is up to $5,000, and it's described as matching funds. So the chamber has already got commitments enough to equal the match, but that's the way it's couched, and that they have to have other equal $5,000 before we'll kick in $5,000. This is Resolution 19-021, Resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency of Reading, Idaho, approving financial support in the amount of up to $5,000 in matching funds to conduct an auditorium district study in cooperation with the Meridian Chamber of Commerce. Authorizing the administrator to take all necessary action required to implement this resolution and providing an effective date.
And now, do we have a motion? I'll make the motion better. Mr. Chair, I move that we approve resolution number 19-021 as read into the record by council.
Second.
So, motion by Commissioner Bassel and the second by Commissioner Burns. Through any discussion? Roll call vote. Commissioner Mueller.
Aye.
Mr. Vlasic.
Aye.
Mr. Bassalon.
Aye.
Mr. Byrne.
Aye.
And the chairman is an aye as well. So there you go.
Thank you.
It's a big deal.
Thank you very much. Ashley, thanks for all your work. She's been amazing, and thank you all very much.
Thank you. Thanks for your time. All right. On to the consideration of approval of the sponsorship request for the Meridian Chamber, right? executive session pursuant to Idaho Code Section 74-206-1C. Consider acquiring interest in real property which is not owned by a public agency. We need a motion to enter.
To enter.
We need a motion, a second, and then a roll call.
And a roll call vote, okay. So, Mr. Chair, I'll move that we move into executive session.
Second.
motion by Commissioner Bassett, a second by Commissioner Burns. Is there any discussion? If not, we'll move to roll call vote. Commissioner Mueller?
I need to go.
Commissioner Blassett?
Aye.
Commissioner Bassett?
Thanks.